Welcome to Torah Simecha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbrenner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu Perek Mem Aleph, Chapter 41. We begin this chapter with Hashem speaking to the nations of the world. Hacharishu Elayim ul'umim yachalifu choach. Be quiet to me, islands, and nations renew your strength. Hashem tells the other nations to listen, not by using the Hebrew word for listen, but by using the word for being quiet, hacharishu. Because, as the Mefarshim point out, ki hamidaber lo yishma v'lo yazin, because someone who is speaking cannot hear and cannot pay attention. This is a lesson with practical implications. In order to be open to words and messages of another, we need to first stop speaking, out loud and even in our minds. Yikshu azidabru yachdav, come close and let us speak together. Lamishpat nikriva, let us come close for judgment. Hashem invites the other nations to stake their claim, to enter into judgment with him. What is the subject of the case? The commentaries explain that the nations of the world claimed that Bnei Yisrael could not be redeemed because they are too sinful. In response to this claim, Hashem goes back to our very beginning, our source, Avraham Avinu. And in this context, he explains the difference between him and any other being, and also the difference between Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, and every other nation. Mi heir mi mizrach tzedek yikra'ehu l'raglo yitain lefanav goyim u'malachim yard yitain ka'afar charbo kekash nidaf kashto. Who was awakened from the east? Righteousness called his legs, nations were given over to him, and kings were subdued by him. The nation's swords were given to him like dust, and their bows were blown away like straw. This refers to the subjugation of the four kings by Avraham Avinu after he came to the land of Israel in response to Hashem's command. Yerdefeim ya'avor shalom orach baraglav lo yavo. He chased them and he passed from them in peace, where his legs had never gone before. When describing Avraham's great conquests and achievements, the Navi points out that his victory was obviously supernatural because it was totally illogical. Not only because he was so few in number, but also because, in the words of the Pasuk, his legs had not gone there before. Avraham was not a native, he was a stranger to this land, and yet he still managed to be victorious over four very strong kingdoms that were natives. How did this happen? Mifa'al va'asa korei hadoros merosh, ani hasher mishon v'esacharonim anihu. Who acted and did this? The one who planned all generations from the beginning. I am Hashem the first, and who will be the last, I am him. Who was responsible for these great illogical victories? Of course, only Hashem. He was responsible for Avraham Avinu's victory over incredible odds. But it is not only this isolated incident. This was part of Hashem's plan, the one who planned all generations from the beginning. Avraham Avinu was part of Hashem's plan for the world. Hashem is saying, just like I was with Avraham Avinu, so I will always be with Bnei Yisrael, because they are part of my plan, no matter how unlikely it may seem at times. The Abravanel explains that this is the explanation of the words, Ani Hashem. I am Hashem who was with the first Jew, and I am the same Hashem who does not change, who will be with the last Jews at the end of days. This is Hashem's answer to the other nation's claims. You may think it impossible for me to redeem this small nation, but I will do so just as I made Avraham Avinu, a single unlikely victor, victorious over the people of his time. Now Hashem continues to another aspect of his quote-unquote defense, which is the difference between Bnei Yisrael and other nations. What was the response of the other nations to Avraham Avinu's great victory? Ra'uim v'yira'u k'tzos ha'aretz yecharadu, karvu v'yesayun. The nations heard and became afraid. The ends of the earth saw and shook from fear. They were scared. They recognized that Avraham Avinu's victory was miraculous, and they came to him and approached him beseechingly. One would think that their reaction would be to be influenced by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, who was the great Makarev, he was the one who tried to convince the world of the truth of one God and was very successful in his endeavors. After his great physical victory, one would think that the other nations would be influenced by him. But instead, the rest of the pasuk goes completely in the opposite direction. Even though they recognized the miraculous nature of his victory, they were unwilling to give up their avodah zarah, to the point that each man would incite the other. Ish es reyehu ya'azoru. Each man would help the other. How? U'l'achiv yomar chazak. They would say to each other, be strong. The commentaries explain that what they were saying to each other was, don't be influenced by this holy man. Instead, be strong and stay strong to your idol worship. And the verse continues in a way that seems almost absurd. Verse 7 describes how they would makeshift their idols back together with nails and glue, and they would pretend that their idols, broken and defeated, were just fine. So strong was their desire to stick to their idol worship and not be influenced by this first Jew. This, of course, is in contrast to Bnei Israel, who are addressed in verse 8. The Ata Israel, but you Israel, Avdi Yaakov, my servant Jacob, Asher Bechartiha, that I have chosen, Zera Avram Ohavi, you are the seed of Avraham who loved me. You are the descendants of Avram who chose to recognize God against everyone else who lived at the same time. And you as his descendants have followed in his ways. Avdi Ata Bechartiha Velo Ma'asticha, you are my servants, I have chosen you and I have not rejected you. This is a direct refutation of the claims at the beginning of the chapter. Al tira ki imcha ani, do not be fearful because I am with you. Al tishta, do not be dismayed, ki ani elokecha, because I am your God. Imatzticha afasarticha aftamachticha b'yamin tzidki. I have strengthened you, I have helped you, and I have supported you with my righteous right hand. Hein yevoshu v'yikalmu kol hanecharim bach, yuka ayin v'yovdu anshi rivecha. Those who become angry with you will be shamed and humiliated, and those who fight with you will become like nothing. Exactly contrary to the claims we saw at the beginning of the chapter, Hashem says that those who may seem greater or more worthy of fear, there is nothing to fear from them, because I am with you and I will stay with you. The Navi then addresses the obvious question. Our physical situation does not seem to mirror this reality. We find ourselves as a small nation in number and in physical power. Now, even less than throughout history, when Jews were constantly persecuted and were often in fear of extinction. The Navi goes on to explain that this perception of physical power does not matter at all. Why not? Because Hashem is with us, and those who are greatly lacking in number and strength will in the end come out on top. In this context, the Navi calls Bnei Israel a tola'as, which means a worm, a strangely unflattering comparison in the middle of a very positive prophecy about our permanence. A combination of Rashi and Radak explain that a worm is something that is physically small and weak, but that is deceptive. It has great strength in its mouth. Although its body is very soft, it can gnaw its way into the hardest wooden trees and destroy them. In the same way, we, Bnei Israel, are physically weak and insignificant, but we have power in our mouths, in our prayers. If we harness that spiritual potential, we can vanquish all other nations. Then we will become, as the verse calls us, a threshing iron that will destroy mighty mountains and make them into dust. And Bnei Israel will rejoice in Hashem. Va'ata tagil b'Hashem piktosh Yisrael tishalal. One only needs a cursory knowledge of history to see that this happens over and over. Great empires and superpowers seem permanent and completely and totally undefeatable. How can we possibly hope to challenge or outlast them? And yet, the nation of Israel is the one that lasts while those nations disappear like scattered dust. Both of these sections recall one of the themes that we spoke about at the beginning of the last chapter, that the people of Israel retain their status despite their sins. First, the Navi emphasizes the uniqueness of Bnei Israel, first shown by Avram Avinu, and the contrast to the other nations, that we do have greater spiritual fulfillment. The continuation demonstrates that even if it is true that we have sinned since then, we still have great spiritual power, and if we harness that, we can overcome the physical power of all other nations. It is true that we are not hopelessly forsaken, but it is also true that at this point we have fallen from our lofty spiritual heights. And the Navi does not ignore this. He compares us to a nation that is thirsty, beginning in verse 17. Ha'ani'im va'avyonim mevakshimayim va'ayin, l'shonam b'tzamanish nashata. The poor people and the destitute people are looking for water, but there is none, and their tongues wither with thirst. What is this thirst? Many commentaries highlight the connection between these verses and the verses in Amos 8, Perek Ches, where it says that at the end of days, there will be a hunger and a thirst. This will not be a hunger for bread, nor a thirst for water, but a yearning for the word of Hashem. Similarly, here, the thirst is a lack of Torah and connection to Hashem. But despite the fact that we seem all dried up, one day Hashem will turn our spiritually lacking people vibrant. Places that are barren of Torah will become sources of Torah wisdom. And those whose hearts are closed to Torah growth and understanding will become sensitive to it. The Pasuk mentions various trees that will grow in the desert. These are trees that usually only grow with an abundance of water. Rashi explains that these symbolize Chachma and Shalom, wisdom and peace. These things, like the trees mentioned, usually only grow in places of spiritual plenty. But it will happen that peace and wisdom will flourish in place that one never thought that they could. In Galus, in exile, we may yearn for these spiritual virtues, but doubt that they are achievable in this spiritual wasteland. Hashem responds by saying that even in exile, you will become open and sensitive to Torah and sources of great scholarship and growth, even in places that you thought that could not possibly happen. And why will there be such lofty heights achieved in the most unlikely of places? Leman yiru v'yedu v'yasimu v'yaskilu yachdav ki yad Hashem asasazos ukdosh Yisrael bira'a. In order that they should know that Hashem has brought all of this. This is for the Jewish people and all the other nations. Even our spiritual elevation must be attributed to its source. And that will be necessary given the contrast between the Jews and their spiritual achievements and their surroundings. Now we return to the beginning of the chapter. Hashem returns to his judgment with the other nations who contend with him. He invites them to bring their strongest claims against him and against the Jewish people. He even suggests that they bring their idols and let us see how powerful they really are. Let them try to predict what will happen in the future, and that way we will know if they are truly gods and therefore have the power to perpetrate good or evil. But of course, this is not the case. Only Hashem can predict what will happen in the future, and so he does. Hai rosi mi tzafon v'ya'as mi mizrach shemesh yikra v'shmi. I have awakened someone from the north, and he has come, and someone from the east calls in my name. This is a reference to either Koresh, the Persian king that would vanquish Babylon and put in motion the events that will lead to the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, or this refers to Mashiach, who will bring the ultimate redemption. Hashem foretells either or both of these events in these verses, and says that the Jews will be called to return to Jerusalem, and we will see that he is the true God, who not only brought these miraculous events, but predicted them, showing not only his omnipotence, but his omniscience as well. And so ends the debate between the nations of the world and their creator. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.